811. His name is Wonderful, Jesus, my Lord.
But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out.
All right, very good. Let's say it together one time. Numbers 32:23. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. All right, very good. So we'll keep learning that one for this week, and Lord willing, next Sunday we'll have another one. And I will announce that as soon as I have determined what it is. All right. Brother Siebold.
In church this morning. You say that all the time. Well, it's good to be in God's house. And your home ought to be God's house. God ought to be more than welcome in your home. Family altar, prayer time, meal time, and all. The unseen guest at every meal is the Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty God. And it's good to be here once again. I'm trying to decide whether you look better with my glasses on or better with my glasses off. Nothing improves mine, but I'm just wondering how you would look, better or not. Take your psalm book, if you would. And I asked my wife to hold this book open to 732. 732. Similar to the title of the message this morning. And when I told her, she said, "When you go up there, you're not going to sing, are you?" Otherwise she wasn't going to give me the psalm book. No, I enjoy singing. Nobody else does, but I enjoy singing. And I thank God for a voice, even if it doesn't sound the way it ought to sound. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And we all can do that. It may not be a pleasant sound, but it ought to be a joyful sound unto the Lord. I mentioned to you, I believe that there are three books extremely important in our Christian endeavor. Number one, the book you have on your lap, the good book, the Bible, okay? And number two would be the song book. Amen? Okay? And the third book would be your pocketbook. So remember, those three books, okay, God wants to have control over: the song book, the good book, and your pocketbook. And you say, "Well, that's mine." It's God's. It all belongs to God. And it is. And thank God that you have the ability to have something, whatever it may be, a roof over your head, clothes on your back, automobile to travel to and from. Psalm 732, things are different now. Things are different. Some of us were saved at an early age, and the biggest thing you did was took the cookie from the cookie jar. Our young people in school would say, "Who took the cookie from the cookie jar?" Rev took the cookie from the cookie jar. "No, I didn't." "Then who did?" And so forth. There's a little song. "Who cooked the cookie?" "Ma took the cookie from the cookie jar." "No, she didn't." We are different. We ought to be different. We need to be different. And we're going to look in just a few moments from some Bible verses that would indicate the areas in which we ought to be different. We ought not to be like the world. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Places I used to go, that little song, you know it well. Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to Jesus. In giving your heart to Jesus, there was not necessarily the necessity of a prescription. Things just changed. When the Holy Spirit came resident of your heart, your life, when he became the resident, you didn't have to always fight to change. Now, there are some habits that were physical that perhaps become difficult to change. Just because the physical addiction to puffing on camels. I could never understand why my father wanted to smoke a camel. When they grind them up and put them inside that paper, camels, whatever. Things are different. When you got saved, there ought not to have been. Sometimes we need some guidance along the way. When you got saved, maybe your diet changed, maybe it didn't change, maybe the beverages that you drank changed and so forth and so on. But we need to have some counsel along the way. That some things that we were doing at one time before we got saved are not good for us to do after we got saved. They weren't good for us to do before we got saved. Folks ought to have a responsibility of living godly. Now, it's nigh impossible to live godly without Christ dwelling within us. But people ought to know they ought to live godly. I've heard people say, "Well, he's not saved," and use that as an excuse for an ungodly lifestyle. Thou shalt not kill is applicable, even though it's in the Old Testament, it's applicable to both saved and the unsaved. "Well, I'm not saved, so I can go around killing." "Well, I am saved, so I guess I can't kill you." Folks ought not to lose their cool, saved and unsaved. Things are different now. Somebody who knew you before you trusted Christ and they meet you 2 or 3, 4 years down the road, they ought to notice there's something different about you. So there's something different about you. And if we would manifest that to a lost and dying world, there may be a few more folks interested in our Christianity. Yeah? The kids used to say, I want to marry daddy when I grow up. And so we ought to have some daddies who are examples of what Christian folks are like. Yeah. Somebody met you, they ought to understand that they met the character traits of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be reflection. My girls in growing up, they went to camp. And my daughter was in the cabin with somebody who knew me. And it was a pat on the back when they said, "You must be Rev's daughter." My daughter said, "How come?" "Because you act like him." I don't know if that was a compliment or not. Yeah, she didn't know how to take that. But you ought to. You ought to have a desire. We want to reproduce the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are supposed to be in his image. We're supposed to be characteristics and of him. People ought to see Christ in you. You all heard that you are a Bible. In not rawhide, not cowhide, but in human hide. And you may well be the only Bible that people ever get to read. And say that they know our Christianity by the way we walk. Things are different now. Some of you were saved in your teenage years. Some of you were saved in your post-teenage years. I want to ask for a show of hands. Some of you, there's no older age folks here, but some of you may have, anyway, how am I going to get out of this one? You may have been a little bit older when you got saved. Thank God you got saved. And I know we want to kick ourselves when we didn't get waiting. We wait until we're 50 or something like that to get saved. How old was I when I got saved? 21, okay. I always get my years mixed up as to where I was, when I was, what was the logistics. I think I told you last week or one time that I was 19 when I got saved, and now I'm up to 21, and by the time I get to heaven, I'll be 45. Somewhere along the way, you know, it gets a little foggy as you go back. I can remember where I was, remember situations, circumstances, and so forth and so on. Things are different. When you got saved, there were some things that you kind of knew from knowing Christian folks. There are some places we just don't go. Now, I've seen in my lifetime, Christian lifetime, that those things where we don't go has changed. Okay? And being in a diversity of churches that we've had the opportunity or privilege of being in, you really don't always know what this body of believers would do or wouldn't do. I think I talked about that a long time ago when we talked about Ocean Grove and the bathing and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, times have changed. We ought to be as biblically sound as we possibly can be. There's been a great change. Let me read the words. You can look down. I'll not sing it. I promise you. Things are different now. Something happened to me. When I gave my heart to Jesus, things are different now. I was changed. It must be when I gave my heart to him. Things I loved before have passed away. Things I love far more than come to stay. Things are different now. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and we'll read some other verses. And for me, this is an interesting experience, having preached for 38 years. You know what you preached yesterday, you know what you preached 5 years ago, and so forth and so on. And when you bounce around like a ping pong ball going from church to church, here to there, and so forth and so on, you're not exactly sure. And if I say something that I've said before, just attribute it to my age. You know how that is? You don't always remember what you told somebody, so attribute it to my age. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I said, "I think I told you this story before." He said, "You did." I said, "Just be quiet and listen to it." You know? Just pretend you never heard it before. Yeah. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, you and I, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Are you not glad that you got saved now that you can serve God? I look at you who have arrived for Sunday school. It's not a chore to come to Sunday school. It's, I get my perfect attendance pins. Anybody remember them? Come on now, help me out, all right? Perfect attendance pins, yes. I had one that you can almost trip on. The Lutheran Church, Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Atonement in Asbury Park, New Jersey. And my mother was a Sunday school teacher. She was not a member of the church. I don't know if she was saved at that particular point in time, but they had her as her teacher. And so we rode a bus all the way from a little town to another little town, and she taught Sunday school. But I was, you know, I literally drugged to Sunday school. She never stayed for church. Only taught Sunday school and went back home. And I went back home with her. Perfect attendance. You know, I'm glad that we get to go to church now. That there's not an incentive. If you had perfect attendance for a year, we'll send you to Hawaii. Or we'll send you to someplace if you have perfect attendance. We come to church because we love the Lord. And we love the people who love the Lord. We're in love with the Lord, and we're in love with the book, and we're in love with Christian friends and so forth and so on. And that's why we want to be in God's house. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, without spot, holy, without sin, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I've said it a dozen times since I've been here. Do something for God. It's your reasonable service. Do something. Whatever you can do, do something for God. I think we need to get, what do they say, out of the box a little bit. Just get a little bit fanatical, maybe about something. I don't know what it is, how it is in your life, but whatever that might be, get out of the box a little bit. Some of us are scared to jump in. I could never do that. I could never speak to somebody at a door, knocking on the door, say, hi, I'm from, I'd have a hard time doing that. But just jump out of your comfort zone. All right? You know, you never grow too old for that. My wife said to me the other day, get out of your comfort zone. She's laughing, but that's what she said. Get out of your comfort zone. And sometimes you have to. I worked as a sales engineer for a while when I graduated from college, Gagne Associates. And one of my jobs was to visit General Electric and do some engineering concepts for their machines. And I'm so shy, I don't like to meet people that I've never met before. And I walked around the building 3 times. I wasn't driving around. I walked around to get up enough courage to go into the building to say to the receptionist who I was. And then she wanted to know what I want here. I got to think. And so forth and so on. I had to step out of my comfort zone. And in serving the Lord, you have to step out of your comfort zone. I could never do that. Get out of your comfort zone. There are people who are lost and dying who need somebody just to care about them. Just a friendly smile. Just a, how do you do? God's been good to me. Praise God. Share your testimony in the grocery line, in whatever it is. Get out of your comfort zone. And many of us say, I could never do that. You'll feel very uncomfortable. If you've been shy and reserved and withdrawn all your life, it's not at 55, 65, 75, whatever. It's not easy to come out of your comfort zone. But the word of God needs to get out. And we are to be carrying the word of God out, going into all the world. Well, this is our world. And we need to get the gospel out. I said to you before, you got excellent tracks back yonder there. Take them and leave your tracks behind you. You know? I was out on visitation and I went to a door and he said something to the effect. I said, I'm not giving you this. He said, you folks can buy. I said, well, I wasn't going to give you this. I'll hold it out. You want to take it? I'm not going to give it to you. And before I left, he took it. I don't know. You don't always use the same approach with everybody. Yeah. Oh, it's Saturday morning. I know you folks are from church. Yeah, that's good. Good. You know. And you open up a door and there's not a set thing. You know, sometimes people have a memorized, hi, I am from, and do. Get the tracks out. Get the gospel message out. Let folks know there's a place here that stands without apology for the old time gospel. Verse number 2, and be not conformed. We're going someplace, so hang with me. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. The philosophy, the mindset, the theology, the teachings, and so forth. Let's not be conformed to it. If they're doing right accidentally, that's fine. And we coincidentally, we are on the same page, that's fine. But we're not aiming to be conformed to this world. We want to be what God wants us to be. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You don't think like you used to think, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want you to look with me, and I got some notes here this morning. As always, they're colored and technicolor and all that kind of stuff. I do this to try and stay online. There's something different about you. There's something different about you. Do a little brainstorming here with me. What is different about you than the unsaved individual? What's different? I'm going to set the alarm clock, and it's going to go off, and you're all going to wake up at the same time. I must have had a late night last night. Whatever. All right. What? Yes, Ma? Did you have your hand up? All right. Loving the Word of God. What's different about you than... Yes, ma'am.
An inner peace.
An inner peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Yeah, an inner peace. Yes. There's no right or wrong answer.
We think differently.
We think differently. All right. Yes, sir.
Heaven.
Our home is different. Our permanency is different. We're just passing through. Our treasures are not down here in the garage or down the basement or wherever. Our treasures are laid up. The songwriter said somewhere beyond the blue. Yes, sir.
We know who made everything.
We know. We know. We know who made everything. We know who sustains everything. Yes, ma'am.
Your priorities are different.
Good. Yes, sir.
The way you present yourself.
The way you present yourself, the way you carry yourself, the way they all just recognize there's something different about you. Your conversation is different. Your politeness is different. You just go out of your way to be gracious and thankful. You go out of your way to be helpful to somebody. There needs to be something different. Yes, ma'am.
We see things differently.
You see things differently. Your perspective on life is different. Yes, ma'am.
Church is not a chore anymore.
Come on. Going to church is not a chore. You're disappointed when it snows and you can't get to church. All right? Lord willing, there's the next Sunday. Don't go out on that highway with the slick ice on the roads and all that kind of stuff because you know, I've got to get to church. When you get here, the doors are nobody shoved the sidewalks. I don't know how you all work that, but you know, if you listen to a radio station, somebody calls around or you know, back home. We just said the doors are always open. We had no locks on our doors. Okay, so if you want to go there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday, the doors are open. You want to go there at 3 o'clock midnight. 3 o'clock midnight. That doesn't work. But anyway, yeah, you can go there. Doors. Everybody had a key. Yes, ma'am.
We pray a lot.
We pray a lot. Oh, my soul. Yes. Praying without ceasing. We pray a lot. It's not a chore. It's not a chore. And it's not a memorized prayer. Excuse me? It's from the heart and it's from the mind. Yes.
Our motivations are different.
Our motivations are different. When you talk about praying, my thought went back to a wedding that I did. And at the end, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit. We didn't have a Trinity anymore. We had a whatever that would be called. I was so nervous. I wasn't exactly sure. Yeah, our praying is different, but not that kind of different. Yes, ma'am.
We learned how to have faith and rely on the Lord.
To have faith and rely on the Lord. Amen. You're not waking up, I'm speaking in the middle of the night for no real reason. Sometimes the Holy Spirit of God will wake you up to pray. And when he does, I start my prayer off with this. Lord, forgive me for falling asleep. But if I thought I couldn't talk to God because and have to stay awake, you follow what I'm saying? Then I wouldn't pray because if that's a qualification for praying at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm not going to pray. Am I making any sense? In other words, sometimes we can pray and we say, oh, I'm too tired to pray. Well, pray as much as you possibly can because you love him. Well, so, yeah, that doesn't sound very spiritual. Falling back off to sleep. We're saying, I'm going back. I'm going to talk to you, God. I'm going to talk to you. And He hasn't told me any different, though. 3 o'clock in the morning, there I am. I'm not out of bed, down on my knees, standing by the side. I'm just laying there knowing I'm going to fall off to sleep. But, Lord, I'm going to get something in here. Things are different. Things are different. Man ought always to pray and not to faint. All right. That's good. That's good. Let's go through. It's kind of like a grocery list. You all make grocery lists? The day, how many make their grocery list on the computer, on the iPhone? Got one, two. We have one phone between us. Some preachers find that, how do you do that? Because we are like Siamese twins. We're attached at the hip. And wherever you see Rev, you see Ma. Wherever you see Ma, you see Rev. And so she has that. And I needed some, my binding was coming off of the Bible, and I needed some, what kind of glue is that?
Super glue.
Super glue, yeah. I needed some. And she immediately took out the phone, and she called the super glue company. And said, Rev, he's super. No, no. She took out that phone and she put and said, super glue. And so then when we were in Walmart or one of the dollar store, when we were in the dollar store, she said, look down there at that grocery list, okay, and put it on the phone. Do you all do anything like that? Or do you still have a notepad that we write down what we need on? Amen? You leave it. Hey, so we've got a little, it's not a grocery list, it's a Bible list. Concerning your being different, and be not conformed to this world. So we ought to be different than the world. The music, all of it ought to be different than the world. The periodicals, the magazines, and so on ought to be different than the world. I'm going to ask you to be turning in your Bibles. You all right with that? At snow camp when I preached, we had about 350 kids at snow camp Monday night. And we did a sword drill with had a kind of like a grocery list for the kids and stuff. And, draw swords. And it was neat to see these kids out there with their King James Bible. You know, they weren't dressed in suits. It was snow camp. So, sweatshirts and T-shirts, or whatever. You know, they were dressed that way. But they draw and they stayed with me. I mean, I'm reporting this so that you know there are still some teenagers alive that want the Lord of God. They want preaching. We had two preachers that night. I preached for about an hour and 15 minutes, sang some songs. Next preacher comes up, and he preached for about an hour and 10 minutes or something like that. And the kids just sat there and just were glued. Nobody fell asleep. Nobody needed to be hit upside their head or anything else like that. They want the Word of God. They want the Word of God. And so there's hope. There's hope. Somebody asked, well, they're all from Christian school. Well, some of them, maybe a third from Christian school, a third from homeschoolers, maybe a third from public school. We're not really cognizant of the exact figures. But there are a bunch of kids that are growing up to be preachers, Christian school teachers, God-honoring, God-fearing moms and dads, learning from almost some of their peers the right way you ought to go. Because you've got seniors and you got to have seventh graders. These seventh graders are looking up to the seniors. And these seniors better be showing them the way they ought to go. And it's exciting to see that something is happening out there in the marketplace. No, I did not go skiing. I did. Last year I went tubing because there was snow. This year there was no snow. It was like mud camp. Things are different. Things are different. We're not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing your mind. When you got saved, you had a wicked mind and you needed the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not saying it was totally wicked, but you needed the Holy Spirit of God to purge and purify and pull out that which was not acceptable. Psalm 119:59, draw swords. No. Some of us can't get our arms over our head. You know? Draw swords. No, just Psalm 119:59. Can you turn there? Psalm 119 and 59. We went through, just as a corporate group here, some of the things that are different. And I want to say, first on my list, I put down, my thinking is different. My thinking, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Someone wrote the book, In His Steps. In His Steps. Our steps need to follow His steps, so when these little young whippersnappers want to know what to do, they're going to follow our steps. Daddy, I'm going to follow your steps. I'm going to walk in your steps. I'm going to follow. I said this, I know, to you before, but wouldn't it be good if everybody walked in your steps? I mean, we ought to be setting an example.
I'm a golfer in my dreams. I've tempted once in a while to go back to the golf course that I caddied on in Jersey. Richard Nixon plays there. Billy Graham, you know Billy Graham? Yeah. Billy Graham played there, and I can name a few others. But anyway, I swing today just the way the club champ swung. Anyway, the way he tried to hit the ball way back yonder, the same. Because I was walking in his steps. I decided if he plays a good game of golf, I'm going to play that way. Somebody's going to say, I want to be a good Christian. I'm going to walk the way you walk. And I'm going to talk the way you talk. And I'm going to look the way you look. And I'm going to act the way you act. And that's what young people who come to church, they'll say, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit the way they talk. I'm going to talk the way they talk, walk the way they talk, look the way they look. And they wouldn't go to the world to look the way they look. How many of us complain about the way the young people look today? How about hairstyles? We need to set the pace. Some of us can't. There's no hair to style. My thinking is different. What does that verse say? Let me read it for you. For I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Back into the Word of God and see what ought to be different in our thinking. Number two on my little grocery list here, it says, my speech is different. My speech is different. Have you heard somebody talk? Do they sound like Christians? I mean, the way, you know, they're in the grocery store and they're shopping and their kid's misbehaving. Would you know that was a Sunday school teacher by the way she reprimanded her son or daughter? Yeah. It's different. My speech is different. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Don't give up on me yet. We just started. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Let your speech be always. I'll let you get there. Let your speech be always with grace. Tell me, how many of you young people have had somebody talk roughly with you, gruffly, and you wouldn't know that they're just kind of just gruff. They're just rough. Let it be seasoned. Let it be reproducible. Let it be sweet. Let it be seasoned with salt and abounding in grace. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Flip it. My wife, fellows who are married, you have a junior Holy Spirit. You know what junior Holy Spirit? It's kind of somebody who reminds you of, you know, y'all trying to figure out what I'm going to say now. But you have somebody say, do you think that was a good way to talk to them? I will not give you some examples that I have. You know, just I thought I was being cute. I thought I was being humorous. I thought I was being funny. But it really wasn't that way. And so you have a junior Holy Spirit that's walking around with. We have a Holy Spirit that ought to let us know that that was not in good taste. That was not desirable. You may think you're funny, but that hurts somebody. We need this Holy Spirit to help us along the way. We're different. We're different. We're different. We're different. Our thinking is this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Our thinking, our speech is different. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. Now get down where the rubber meets the road. What we know here ought to affect here, and ought to affect here, and here ears. It ought to affect a whole lot of our body. It ought to affect us in many ways. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 and 22. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. My appearance is different. Our Christian folks ought to be different. Every once in a while when we had our Christian school, or I was head of the Christian school, it'd be nice just to have uniforms so everybody looked different. And without the uniform, they still needed to look different. It was called modest apparel. And so since we're not all in a environment where we need to wear the same uniform, but everybody ought to adorn themselves in modest apparel. We're going to talk about a little bit more about that in just a moment. But my appearance is different. There's something different about you. Something different about you. And my difference, this morning we parked the motorhome in your parking lot out back yonder there. And at 5:30, somebody either walked by, threw a rock, did something, and we had a big ba-boom. All right? I don't sleep in a shirt and tie. But when I get up, I put my shirt and tie on, my spenders, and I put my jacket on, and I went out to find. My appearance is different. We had them 350 kids at snow camp. Two of us had ties on. Myself and one of the teenage boys came with a tie and wore the tie most of the time. Playing basketball, he wore it. Doing other things, he wore it. I don't think he wore it when he went skiing. But anyway, it wore different. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, every Christian man wears a tie. And I'm not saying every Christian man wears a jacket. But we ought to be conservative in our attire. There ought to be that difference. Y'all with me this morning?
Yes.
And Christ made a change on the inside and on the outside, because what's on the outside reflects what's on the inside. You ever hear the statement years ago, truth in advertising? Truth in advertising. And I say to the young people, if it ain't for sale, don't advertise it. You follow what that carries? And they need that. And so on occasion, maybe mom and dad need some of that truth in advertising. My appearance is different. Now, my mind here is you. That you might be saying with me this morning, my appearance is different. Fashions and styles and so forth, they say something. They communicate something. I think I told you last week about the rolled up pants, the gangs. They have a way of communicating. If you're part of the Bloods, you roll your right pant leg up. If you're part of this other group, you roll your other leg, pant leg up. And they've got other ways by your attire. I want people to know I'm a preacher. I've been insulted on several occasions when they thought I was an attorney. They said, "Miss, are you a lawyer?" "No, I'm a preacher, independent Baptist preacher." Oh, yeah. Well, you still, you know, but in today's culture, it doesn't always work that way. It doesn't always work that way. It ought to. We ought to dress up for the occasion. There are still some judges who will send you out of his courtroom if you don't attire yourself properly, and they'll let you know. And if you're standing before the judge, you don't want him to let you know, so you want to do everything that he likes. And we have a God in heaven. We ought to have godly attire. My appearance is different. Hebrews chapter 10, we still have a few. Oh, we're good. Hebrews chapter 10, I know you're getting tired of turning, and we're not expounding it. We're just giving you some ideas this morning about what should be and what is different about you. My habits are different. Let me call on you. Give me some habits that you have that are different because you're a Christian. The habit of going to church. What are some habits? Praying before you eat dinner. Amen? Now, it is a good habit to pray before you eat dinner. Amen? You know, and I'm of the persuasion that we ought to pray all the time. They tell me in Europe they pray when they're done. Some parts. I guess they're waiting to decide or decipher what they're eating. And then if they should thank God for it or ask God to make it settle in my stomach or whatever. But we ought to be praying. All right? If we're not careful, some of that becomes ritual. You remember, God is good, God is great. We talked a little bit just passing last week about, you know, our prayer, that is good, but from the heart and from the mind as well. But we do have that habit of praying. Any other habits?
Doing something you don't want to do, but now you're doing it with joy.
All right. You've adapted a habit, and then it's become a lifestyle. Amen. Preach it, sister. You ought to do it with a good attitude. You don't have to do it anyway. That's a good lesson for young people to learn. But young people become folks like us. And as long as you're going to do it, you know, do it. I mentioned to you, I think last week somewhere, that Ma and I, she'll ask me to do something. And I've already programmed my mind that if she asks me to do something, the answer is yes. I don't know what it is, but the answer is yes. She knows she better not ask me to do something I don't want to do because she'll catch it later on. So she only asks questions, basically, that she knows I can say yes to. In the motorhome, we have garbage put out every once in a while. She said, could you put the garbage? Yeah. I'm more than glad. I'll do it. No problem. No, do it. Yeah. Yes. We do it with a different countenance. We do. That makes for a happy marriage. You. That makes for a happy marriage. Ladies, just ask your husband to do something. And husbands, you have the answer already. If she asks me, I'm going to say yes. But make sure what you ask is something that he's going to say yes. It works good. If you're going to have an argument over what you ask him to do, don't ask him to do it unless you want to have an argument. Fellas, if she asks you to do something you don't want to do, just go ahead and do it. It's not worth the time and energy to not do it. Our habits are different. The habit of going to church. The habit of giving money to the Lord. Other habits. What other habits might you have that are different? Yes, sir.
Reading the
Bible every day. Amen. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Yes.
Soul winning.
Yes. Yes. And every day. And the aspects of soul winning, in some churches, we do soul winning on Thursday nights. Some churches do soul winning. Just talked with a young lady I didn't talk to her directly, but they do soul winning on Saturday afternoon. They do bus visitation on Saturday morning. It doesn't always appear at the same time. But soul winning ought to be there conscious. We ought to be conscious about souls, kind of like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You dreamed about leading somebody to the Lord. That's the 24th hour of the day. It ought to be on your heart and ought to be in your mind, giving the gospel tracks. How do you feel when somebody doesn't take the track? How do you feel? Talk to me. Huh?
I used to feel, you know, like, why didn't they take that track? Or why didn't they, or if they took it, I turned around and they threw it on the ground, you know. But now I look at, if they throw it on the ground, it's an opportunity for somebody else to come along.
Right. And they really, right, they weren't rejecting you.
And I just feel like I just think about myself, how many times I rejected the Lord, but how many times he kept after me anyway. So, you know, that person that's rejecting the Lord, God has an appointed time for them, you know. So hopefully their appointed time will be to accept the Lord as their personal Savior, or their appointed time will be judgment.
Amen. I've cut down on it a little bit, but I... Spontaneous, wise guy. Yeah, here. When he's going through a toll booth, back when, before the Easy Pass, that kind of stuff, I had him the track. He said, no, I don't want it. I said, what's the matter? Can't you read? Look at my wife. She's got her glasses on the end of her nose going. She didn't think it was smart. She didn't think it was funny. But it was spontaneous. And he didn't take it. But my point being, why not? It was just like you and I was, what's the matter? Can't you read? I'm not recommending that. I go through the Easy Pass, Speed Pass now. throw the track, no. But we need to be comfortable in it. The way you present it, you don't hand the track to everybody else. I had to have my motorhome towed. And last week, I hit the brakes. Did I say that?
Yeah.
And so the guy who towed me, I wanted to give him a track. I wanted to give him some money, you know, so I had to pay the regular bill, but I wanted to give him kind of like a tip, I guess you call it. So I asked my wife, you got any money? I never have any money. There's a key in lip gloss or whatever. Yeah. And so I said, do you have any money? She said, all I got is a $20 bill. I said, that's all right. Give me the $20 bill. I love giving away money that belongs to her. Give me the $20 bill. And so I had a good track from Solid Rock, and I gave it to the fella. He said, no, I don't want any tip or anything else. No. I said, here, it's not really a tip. What I want you to do is save it, and when you come to visit us at church, you'll have some money to put in the offering plate. Because all we ever hear is that's all the church wants is money, money, money. So I said, here, there's $20. You can come, and you can put it in the offering plate. And so, you know, he was a little bit more receptive of the track with that type of, you know, you're nothing but a wicked sinner. You need to get saved right now. Now, there are occasions when that happens. There are occasions when that works. And other times it doesn't work. Well, my problem is when I go from spot to spot, I tell the same story every place. We were in a Pizza Hut. I walked outside. This guy's beating up on a lady. And I walked up and just like I am right now. I said, look at me. Yo, look at me. That's what I said to him. He's beating up on this lady. You know, big, strong guy. Look at wicked little me. Look at me. Can you look at me? Is it that hard? You will not. Do you understand? No smile. And he must have thought I was a detective. Because I said, you get back in your car and get out of here right now. No. Don't open your mouth. Just go and get in your car. Take this with you. Go. And he took it. And he left. That's not a soul-winning tactic. But he probably got back in the car scratching his head. What is the world? What's that? Yeah. Is that a fundamental Baptist? Standing up to me? You know, I had sneakers on. I could run. They're not soul-winning techniques. But on occasion, it does work. On occasion, it does help. Things are different. You're different. Something's different about you. Have you ever been accused of being different? Boy, that's a blessing. That's like getting a graduate degree or something, you know. Ah, you must be a Christian. Your goals, Philippians 3, 13 and 14, your goals are different. I wrote these out in the first person. My goals are different. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Haven't arrived. No way in the world would I want to deceive you or delude to the idea or give to the idea that we are more than what we are. We're sinners saved by grace, trying to serve the Lord in any and every capacity. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The U.S. Marines, if you are a former Marine, you're proud of the fact. That's kind of like the apex of the military forces. But if you are a Christian, a soldier, we're going to sing about that in preaching this morning. If you are a soldier in God's army, what an exalted position to be in. What a high ranking it is. You're not a nominal Christian. You're a high ranking Christian. Let me go on. Your clock must have, what was that little bunny thing that come along and beat the drum? Batteries? Energizers. You got Energizer batteries in that clock. Because it runs faster than any other clock I've ever seen. So get a diehard or something else, but that Energizer is too much. Philippians 1:21, my priorities are different. It's a good verse. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. I'm saying that, but you're saying that. For me to live is Christ. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God. For me to live is Christ. Everything, the way you dress, your clothes say it for you. dealing with teenagers all the time. I recognize that what they wear, they're trying to say something. They're trying to identify with a crowd. They're trying to identify with a movement. They're trying to identify. Well, sometimes adults are not much different. Sometimes it's hard for you ladies to buy clothing that's proper and appropriate. Your clothes say it for you. My priorities are different. Number 7 on my list, and we'll stop with that. My destination is different. My destination is different. Folks, on Sunday morning, I think somebody made that comment, but on Sunday morning, folks don't need to ask, where are you going? Where are you going? They know, your neighbors know, that that car pulls out at 9:05 every Sunday morning because you're going to church. Your destination is different. Thank God for your anniversary coming up next week. Amen? 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 And we're not going to be in a hurry so that we can go home to some other event. You don't have any idea, I hope. I'm glad you don't understand what I'm talking about. One time, only once, am I glad that you have no idea what I'm talking about. Now, so we have to apologize for our church congregations who on Sunday afternoon are not going to have a, what do you, anniversary celebration?
Dinner.
So that's great. That's good. That's amen. But there are some who are having Super Bowl parties. Oh, and they call it a little different. They don't have a spell. Okay? And so they're having that on Sunday night. Why are you so much against that? Because look what we have in America today. Who are heroes? Independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, God-loving, devil-hating, Baptist preachers. They're the heroes in America today. Goes just the opposite. You got some guy who can carry a piece of a pig filled with hot air running down a field with a bunch of 11 guys chasing him down the field, and they're our heroes. It ought not to be. Something's different. And I say again to you, but this place is different. The building is just like a lot of other buildings that we've been in. But the body of believers that have assembled here in this place is different. Protect it and preserve it. Don't let it slide. And we need to transfer to another generation. You realize that? We need to take what God's given us. Some of you can identify with my generation without me insulting you. And we need to take it and give it to the next generation. And then to the next generation. And have it handed down from one to another, to another, to another. Let folks know. You're glad you're a Christian. Got to be my age. I don't think I missed anything that I really would have or should have had. I thank God that I got saved when I did. I wish I got saved earlier, but I got saved when I was 21. And I'm glad. Heavenly Father, bless something that we rambled about this morning. May your Holy Spirit use it. May we be a people that are glad to be a Christian. And let the world know it's a great thing. And it's the best thing. To a lost and dying world, eternity lies before them. May they know the solution and remedy to the predicament in which they find themselves is faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, just as we found it. Help us to carry that news, that good news, out to a lost and dying world, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your attention.